This is a podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute that explores budget policies and issues affecting low and moderate income Americans.
Thanks. Good afternoon, everybody. With me is Chad Stone, the Center's chief economist. Chad and I will have maybe 10 minutes or so of remarks, and then we'll go right to your questions. There will be plenty of time for all of your questions. We're focusing today about the issue Congress will face when it returns next week of whether to continue the federal emergency unemployment insurance benefits. The program providing those benefits is slated to expire on November 30th. As I'm sure you know, regular state-funded unemployment insurance programs provide benefits for up to 26 weeks for people who lose their jobs and are looking for a new one. That's during normal times, but in recessions and weak economies, the federal government always provides additional weeks of federally funded benefits because it takes much longer to find the job and because the weak economy needs the purchasing power that those benefits provide. If you go back to the 1950s, you find that never did Congress allow these federal unemployment benefits to end when the unemployment rate exceeded 7.2%. Today it's 9.6%, yet the question of whether the federal benefits will be continued is in doubt. Much is at stake. 5 million unemployed workers now receive these benefits each week. 400,000 to 500,000 newly qualify each month when their regular benefits run out before they can find a job. By the way, the issue before Congress is not whether the people getting these benefits will get benefits for longer periods than the current program provides. It's whether the program itself will continue and there will be any federal emergency benefits after the first 26 weeks of state-funded benefits end. It's interesting to look at the question before Congress in this area in conjunction with another key issue it will address, the fate of the Bush tax cuts. Some months ago, the Congressional Budget Office analyzed about a dozen options for boosting the economy and creating jobs in the current weak economy. Of all of the options it examined, it rated the federal unemployment benefits the highest in terms of effectiveness in boosting the economy and creating jobs per dollar of cost. And it rated extending the tax cuts, especially the high-end tax cuts, the lowest in effectiveness of all of the items it examined. We're hearing a lot about the need to extend all of the tax cuts, including those at the very top, because the economy needs it. Yet a number of the same policymakers who say that seem unclear or perhaps opposed to continuing the unemployment benefits. Some argue that we can't afford to continue the unemployment benefits, yet unemployment insurance, these federal unemployment benefits have virtually no effect on the long-term fiscal problem because they're temporary, while those who want to extend all of the tax cuts are quite clear that they ultimately want to make them all permanent, which has a big effect on the long-term fiscal problem. The question is whether members of Congress who claim to be concerned about jobs and deficits will follow a path where they allow the most potent job creator to die and pursue the biggest long-term deficit increaser. These and a number of other issues related to the unemployment benefits are the subject of an important new paper by Chad Stone and Hannah Shaw that the Center released this morning, and we'll now turn to Chad for more on these issues.
Thanks, Bob. Today's report explains that renewing federal emergency unemployment insurance benefits for another year is good for unemployed workers, good for the economy, and doesn't endanger efforts to get the long-term budget deficit under control. The paper analyzes these three overarching themes and concludes the following. First, the economy is much too weak and the unemployment rate is much too high to go back to a situation in which there are no federal unemployment insurance benefits and unemployed workers would have to rely on just the basic 26 weeks of regular benefits that would be available in most states. But that's what would happen if Congress takes no action and the Emergency Federal Benefits Program expires November 30th. Second, the economic recovery is much too anemic to eliminate federal emergency unemployment insurance benefits, which, as Bob said, the Congressional Budget Office puts at the top of the list in its analysis of budget and tax policies for stimulating economic growth and job creation in a weak economy. Third, the budgetary cost of continuing the current federal emergency unemployment insurance programs for another year is much too small for that to be a reason not to continue the program. Now let me say a little more about each of these points. On the first point, that now is not the time to end the program. As Bob said, Congress has created a temporary program like this in every major recession since the 1950s to address the fact that job opportunities become scarce in a recession, and it can take longer than 26 weeks to find a job, no matter how hard workers are looking. These have always been temporary programs that end when, but not before, the economy is back on track and job opportunities are starting to open up. But, as Bob said, and this is really important, the highest unemployment rate at which any past program ended was 7.2%. That's not where we are now. We have a 9.6% unemployment rate, and we've barely begun to climb out of the huge jobs hole that was created by the recession. Over 40% of the unemployed have been looking for a job for more than 26 weeks, and that's the maximum number of weeks that for receiving regular unemployment insurance benefits. That over 40% figure is unprecedented. In data that go back to the late 1940s, the previous high was 26% in June 1983. It's over 40% now. Job opportunities remain incredibly scarce. There's one job opening for every five unemployed workers. So if we were to fill all the job openings tomorrow from the ranks of the unemployed, four out of five unemployed people would still be looking for a job. On the second point, that eliminating federal jobless benefits is bad for the economy, unemployment benefits are a job creator. They provide financial assistance predominantly to middle-class families in tough economic times, and those families spend that money. CBO ranks assistance for unemployed workers as the most effective policy for generating economic growth and creating jobs among the 11 spending and tax measures it evaluated in a recent study. As Bob said, that is many times more effective than CBO's evaluation of the effects of extending the 2001 to 2003 tax cuts, which are at the bottom of CBO's list in terms of bang for the buck in generating economic activity and jobs. So turn that around. Without federal jobless benefits, unemployed workers and their families would have less money to spend, and they would cut back on their purchases of goods and services. The resulting weaker sales would hurt businesses and cost jobs. Cutting federal unemployment insurance benefits would take $5 to $7 billion a month of purchasing power out of the economy. That's $60 to $80 billion over the course of a year. Using CBO's bang for the buck figures, that could cost a million or more jobs. And the third point about the budgetary cost, eliminating federal emergency unemployment insurance benefits will have almost no impact on the long-term budget deficit because the program is temporary. Costs go down automatically when the unemployment rate falls, and Congress always ends the program when the economy is back on track. The benefits from boosting economic growth and job creation in order to reduce the jobs deficit now are much larger than the future costs from having a slightly higher federal debt. Requiring that continuing to provide federal emergency unemployment insurance benefits should be paid for with offsetting spending cuts elsewhere in the budget, which is an idea that we hear a lot, would be counterproductive. It completely misses the point about the value of UI as a job-creating stimulus in a weak economy. Injecting purchasing power into the economy with federal jobless benefits, but draining purchasing power out of the economy at the same time with offsets elsewhere in the budget would be like stepping on the accelerator and then stepping on the brake at the same time. There is a gold standard for policy, which would be to extend UI benefits for another year to get the help to workers and boost the economic recovery when we need it now, while enacting offsets that take place some years down the road when the economy is stronger. Policymakers can walk and chew gum at the same time, and that would be the smart policy. We should not forget that unemployment insurance is a bedrock middle-class program to tide families over hard times when the breadwinner loses his or her job. When times are particularly tough, the federal government has always kicked in with additional benefits, and times are still very tough. Continuing the federal benefits for another year, as we said at the beginning, is good for unemployed workers, good for the economy, and it doesn't endanger efforts to get the long-term budget deficit under control.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Read commentary from our experts at offthechartsblog.org. Find us on Twitter and Facebook, and create a My Center account at centeronbudget.org.